Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you back to the radio, the airwaves of Radio Islam International this morning. It's gone 10 past 11. Now, today we're having our panel discussion and we're discussing a very, very, very important topic in every relationship and in every person's life, the relationship between spouses, the relationship between children and their parents, the relationship between co-workers, the relationship between family members, the relationship between friends. Everything is based on trust. There's got to be that level of trust that you need to have with the person that you're communicating, that you're befriending, that is your family, that is your spouse, in order for that relationship to enjoy the flowers and the fruits of that particular relationship. For example, between couples, if there's no trust, how is there going to be any enjoyment in that marriage of theirs? Between parents and children, if there is no trust, how is there going to be any enjoyment between the parents and the children? The parents are not trusting the children at all. They're always going to be, having ill thoughts about them, and it's not going to really be a very comfortable place for them to be. Between friends, between business colleagues, between a boss and the person that is working under him, the employee, if there is no trust, then that relationship doesn't go very far. So in order to trust again, what happens when sometimes that trust is broken and there's been a level of betrayal? It's either felt, it's sensed, it's experienced. How do you then go through that betrayal? How do you navigate the betrayal? And how do you be able to trust that person again? Here people will say, people will pass comments, people will say things like, maybe I'll be able to... Maybe like example, in the case of a spouse, maybe a wife will say, maybe I'll forgive him for the sake of our marriage, and I'll forgive him for the sake of the kids, etc. But I'll never be able to trust him again. So these are statements, these are sentiments that people really feel. Now, in order to navigate through this, we're having this panel discussion this morning. Now, we are speaking, very interestingly, the two panelists that we have with us today. The first is Maulana Dr. Ibrahim Saider. Maulana Dr. Ibrahim is an alim. He has completed the alim course, and Maulana has went on and did a doctorate as well. So Maulana is a vibrant doctor who is passionate about mental health, and what drew him to psychiatry is that the subset of patients appeared to be the most vulnerable and neglected. He then made a decision to become an advocate for mental health patients and their families. Maulana Dr. Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International this morning. Jazakallah for your time.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. To yourself, Maulana, and to all your listeners, it is a privilege to be on your show.
Alhamdulillah, the honor is all ours. And the second panelist that we have joining us today as well is Sister Zakia. And she is a counselor as well as a play therapist. So play therapy is, more working with counseling as far as the kids is concerned. So she does normal counseling. She does counseling for kids as well. And she works with the Islamic Airline. Sister Zakia, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah to you as well. And welcome to Radio Islam International this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for having me, and it's quite an honor, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, when someone you trust betrays you, then it hurts tremendously. The pain can be so intense that it can sometimes be, it can be felt physically, and people will describe it as it's like a punch in the stomach, in the gut, where it feels as if though all of the breath has been completely knocked out of you. Now, whether you are double-crossed in a business deal, a person in a position of authority abuses their power, or you have suddenly discovered that you've been lied to, betrayal is intensely painful. Even more difficult to endure is when the betrayal comes from the people that you trust the most in life. It's hard to go through it. It's hard to experience it. It's even harder to now build that trust again. Maulana, maybe we'll start off with you, right? When a betrayal occurs, what are the emotions and feelings that a person will actually go through?
Okay, so very briefly, I think what we have to understand is that everyone faces betrayal at some point in their life. Mm. But it is from a spouse, perhaps it's a friend, perhaps it's a business partner, as Maulana mentioned. And no matter how much that person apologizes, sometimes you can't manage to tap into our inner reservoir of forgiveness. And, there are other things that happen within the body. For example, from a psychiatric point of view, research has been done extensively in this, surprisingly. And the hormone oxytocin, which is the feel-good hormone. When you hug someone, oxytocin is released. In the private moments between spouses, oxytocin is released. If we go on a jog, for example, oxytocin is released as well. So this is a happy hormone. It's manufactured in the hypothalamus of the brain, and it's also involved, interestingly, in mother and infant bonding. Oxytocin acts more generally in social bonding as well, and we do believe that it's a key component in the psychological experience of trust. And when this trust is broken and that betrayal sets in, we make a deal with someone, we want to know that the person we're shaking hands with will come through on his or her end of the bargain. This oxytocin then takes a blow, and one can then feel a variety of things. Anger is something that comes up very prominently. A feeling of wanting to get back, wanting, and I think we will address that at some point in this program, wanting revenge, wanting retribution. A lot of self-doubt gets in as well. Am I the person that did wrong? Did I do something wrong in this transaction, in this relationship? You know, often there's a mechanism that people use called, which is quite commonly known now as gaslighting. But this was, identified a long time ago, where the victim is actually made to feel guilty over what has happened. So manipulation sets in from one party, and people are led to believe that they are actually the perpetrators of this betrayal. So all of those things come into play when one first encounters a betrayal of trust.
Okay, Jazakallah, Maulana, for that. It's a very difficult time and difficult period for a person to go through, the emotions, the feelings that they go through. At many times they'll tell you that, you know, I alone know what I'm going through, and that is very true. They are the only people that can actually describe to you what they actually going through. Now, Sister Zakia, if we can bring you in, how important is it for a person to fully accept the emotions and allow themselves that feeling of sadness rather than avoid it? So you're going through difficulty. There's something that happened. There was some betrayal. The trust was broken. And just some people might say, you know, let's just avoid it and let me just move on. But, you know, that feeling of sadness, how do you go through it? How do you navigate it? How do you come out of it?
So it's extremely important to actually deal with the emotion. So often at times what happens, like you said, people like to avoid it, and that also goes back to a person's own self of a sense of trust. And what happens is that they don't find peace. So they need to cope with it in order to find peace. Otherwise it will resurface and also hinder future trust in other relationships. And this is where the problem may come, because they might be betrayed before. So it could be, I mean, even in terms of kids, when a parent leaves, or, I mean, there's many divorce cases now, for example. Children don't trust their parents. They always think they're going to leave, and they become very emotionally vulnerable in that sense. And then what happens is later on in life, their trauma obviously affects them. But because, for example, the kids, we don't like actually acknowledge that this is what's going on. And obviously in terms of like individual relationships, you know, we're looking at, for example, if you say a couple, you know, and that the person that obviously felt betrayed, the person that obviously got hurt, that person obviously needs to deal with it. So if you're going through the sadness, if you're going through the anger, then you need to actually accept that this is what I'm actually going through. You know, it's very important, and I find this very, like, remarkable in terms of us being Muslims, because we have the tools. Like, Allah Ta'ala has actually given us, like, there's no, there's purpose for our salah, there's purpose for the zikr, there's purpose for dua. It's not for Allah, it's for us. You know, so even in that time, or even in that sort of calamity that happens to them, they need to turn to Allah. And they think, you know what, everything is so overwhelming right now at the moment, that, you know, there's really not much sincerity in turning to Allah. Whereas He is the only one that will mend your heart. He is the only one that will guide your heart. You know, and yes, there's going to be a lot of anger and it's going to be a lot of resentment where you're going to obviously want to take revenge and you're going to punish the next person. However, you need to process it. And often at times you find there's actually lessons in that. So even if you go through like whatever happened, so if something did happen or the conflict or the actual issue that happened, and you go back and you actually have to go through it properly and seek help. And even talking to somebody helps. You might see things from a different point of view in that sense. You know, it's not easy to be alone in that in that situation. So talk to somebody and allow perhaps open your heart to make you see the truth. And, I mean, it's strange that we're actually talking about the truth in this sense, because all this comes to the truth. It's not something's good or bad. What matters is that it's the truth, irrespective of whether you want to hear it or you don't want to hear it, even in terms of something that happened and maybe you were wrong at something. But because we don't want to hear that this is the way we're wrong at, we avoid it, you know? So it's very important that you have to deal with it, you have to go through it, cope with it, so that later on it doesn't resurface. Otherwise, it's going to keep triggering in future and in other relationships. And even in that terms, like, it's not fair on obviously the next person. For example, somebody who gets divorced and then they want to get married again, and then it resurfaces again. So that's why it's very important. Healing is very important, and going through the emotions, but obviously with an open heart, not with a heart that's filled with ego and revenge.
Yeah, most certainly. A heart that's filled with ego and revenge, it's not going to really get you very far. It's just going to make you become more bitter, and it could, in that case, put you even into deeper water, even into bigger problems. And I like how the sister explained that, you know, at the end of everything, no matter what difficulty we go through, we have the beautiful example in our deen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, the Anbiya, the Prophets. They all went through difficulties in their life. They all went through periods when they were experienced with situations that would have made them sad, and how they dealt with it is the perfect example of how we need to deal with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. Malana, back to you. Do our expectations of people lead to unnecessary feelings of hurt? And would it be possible for us to avoid this?
So yes, definitely. We are wired in a way where we have these expectations from interpersonal relationships and other relationships in our lives. And sometimes we put too much of expectation in that relationship. Now, remember, the ultimate relationship of a believer is that between him and or her and their creator, which is Allah Ta'ala. And if we look at Surah Ar-Rum, you know, when the victory of the Roman Empire being falling into the hands of the Muslims, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then follows it up with the word saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, وعد الله. This was the promise of Allah. لا يخلف الله وعدا. Allah Ta'ala never ever, you know, breaks his promise or goes against his promise. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. But most people do not understand this concept. They don't accept this concept. So if we have to tie this up also with the noble sunnah, in Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I will deal with my servants as they think of me. So this should be the ultimate expectation, the expectation in Allah's mercy and Allah's assistance, not in that of human beings, not even in some of the closest people to us. Yes, we will be, good with them, we will respect them, we will show the utmost level of our good character towards our interpersonal relationship. But remember, at any point, as Mawlana mentioned, even a spouse can betray us, a child can betray us, a very close business partner can betray us. These are all human beings. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, and they have been created, we have been created as weak human beings who have these inherent qualities of sometimes maybe even, you know, betraying a trust that was there for many, many years. And if we have to now shift the expectation from people onto the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think therein lies the answer, as the sister mentioned as well. Wa'ad Allah, the promise of Allah will never be broken. And if we have that expectation in front of us, we will never be disappointed or hurt in any way, because we know then that Allah Ta'ala is the one that is in charge of our affairs. And that is why the dua that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us and himself made often of Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Astaghi Aslih Li Sha'ni Kulla Wa La Takilni Ila Nafsi Tarfata Ayn, that basically, you know, rectify all my efforts, all my affairs, and do not leave me to my own devices at all. And also, we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari of the dua seeking refuge initially from grief and worry. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. What is at the end of the dua? وَمِنْ قَهْرِ الرِّجَالِ To be overpowered by other people, by other human beings. So this was recognized by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, that other men, other women, other human beings can overpower us at times, but we are taught to seek refuge from this. And this is a very beautiful dua. I urge everyone to make this part of their daily supplication, that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan, wa a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal, wa a'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl, wa a'udhu bika min ghalabati al-dayn wa qahri al-rijal. You know, the last part is the one that really ties up with our conversation today, that, you know, learn this dua, make this dua often. The greatest man to ever walk on this earth, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, made this dua. So us mere, weak followers, we should be even more invested in making these types of supplications to Allah Ta'ala and placing our trust in Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
JazakAllah for that, JazakAllah for the very beautiful dua that Maulana has reminded us about and taught us, a very, very important dua. And subhanAllah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to ask for everything, every situation, every difficulty that we're going through. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us such beautiful duas, such magnificent words of Allah subhanAllah that we can take, that can get us through those difficulties. It's now up to us to, you know, learn the duas, and at the time that we are experiencing the particular difficulty, to be able to read these duas to us. Some of these duas, like the dua that Maulana read, it's duas that we can even read every day, every morning after your Fajr Salah. You sit on the Musalla, read some of these duas, and in the evening, you know, after Maghrib, or when you go and sleep, you're laying in the bed, then let us try and read some of these duas. The meaning is so beautiful. Taking the name of Allah is so beautiful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Sister Zakia, back to you now. Recovery from betrayal can be a very, very long, arduous and hard journey. What are the necessary steps that need to be taken for you to get through this difficulty and still survive?
Okay, so firstly, obviously, one needs to have a level of patience, of sabr in that time. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, be alone with themselves and actually focus on, okay, what's really happening, and try their best not to be impulsive, not to be aggressive. And I know it's very hard in that time, you know. However, it's important, that's why, to also seek therapy. And often, I think in our community, people don't want to do that because they think that maybe other people will know, or you know, they're afraid that something actually is wrong, and not many people like to seek help. But it's very important. I mean, even we at Islamic Airline believe that our work and what we do obviously comes from Allah. And obviously we guide people so that Allah can help them. I mean, even if you think of the Sahaba and the people of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they went to him to ask for advice. They went to others to ask for advice so that they can get help with their problems. So it's very important, especially in our Muslim community, to know that it's okay to go for therapy. It's okay to go for counseling. It's okay to seek help and ask questions. You know, we need to learn the lesson in this. If, for example, the person is remorseful, so the person that hurt, for example, if somebody had hurt me and that person is remorseful, then we need to allow for them to acknowledge and, in fact, take responsibility. And even on that terms, it's important to acknowledge that sometimes, you know, many a times people might say, I'm sorry, but then they do the action again. I'm sorry, and again, and again, and again. But, you know, there's a reason why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that we will be judged by our actions, ahsanu amala, by our actions. Because it's so important to not say sorry, but rather to behave in a way where we actually are remorseful and sorry. And that, I mean, by taking responsibility and obviously not committing the act again, you know? And so it's important that, look, if the person is remorseful, then obviously I would allow for that. But if it's consistent, whereby the person keeps on betraying me, keeps on betraying me, then obviously we need to go back to our own self-esteem and self-trust and go back to, like, realizing, why am I keep doing this? Because often it seems, because we don't trust ourselves, it's difficult for us to trust somebody else, you know? Honesty, a consistency, your intention. Your intention is very important, and obviously commitment. One needs to actually address the issues. So you need to actually focus and address the issues, because what happens is that we don't actually realize, or in that time we're so confused and so overwhelmed that we don't understand all the emotions that we're going through. So it helps to write it down, for example. That helps, you know, write it down. It helps to, like, talk to somebody. If you can find coping mechanisms like that, you need to actually do that. Like, processes, write it down and say exactly, you know, yeah, like, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through right now. You know, you don't have to find solutions immediately or to find, like, this is what I'm going through, so this is what I have to do or what needs to happen to feel better quickly. Because it's not a quick fix. It's not something that can just happen. Like I spoke about several patients, it's not something that just can happen. You know, Maulana spoke about our relationship with Allah. And it often happens where we go through challenges. And yes, our life is a love story between us and Allah. It's beginning where we reach Allah, where we end with Allah. And our spouses and the people in our lives are a means for us, for our hearts, for our souls to actually reach Allah in that way. So sometimes just these challenges actually bring people closer to Allah. Maybe in that conflict or in the time before, example, maybe they weren't reading like Salah, or they weren't, you know, turning to Allah a lot or certain things. Now all of a sudden this has come, this major overwhelming challenge has come. And they've been betrayed, and now this person starts, for example, reading Salah. They start turning to Allah more. They start becoming closer to Allah. They start trusting Allah, you know? So it's important to know that it's not always, there's sometimes there's khair in these situations, you know? And lastly, to earn the respect of that person, it has to be consistent, and you have to allow. If that person is saying, you know what, I'm willing to do so and so to fix it, in order for you to earn that respect, it's obviously going to take time. But again, once you turn to Allah and once your heart starts to open, and that, because everybody, like Munana said, everybody, there's no, like, somebody who's, there's no person who has lost hope. There's no person who is completely losers here. Like, you know, we can change and we can improve. So we need to also allow for people to improve and give them an opportunity, give them a chance.
Yeah, that's very, very, very important. We want to see a difference. We want to make a difference. If we want to patch things up and we want to make things up, the first thing that we need to allow is we need to understand that, yes, people do make mistakes. And as the sister said, when you can see that there is that sense of remorse from the person, there is that sense of regret. They're not too happy with what they have done. They're showing it. They're showing that, you know, they want to change or they're willing to change. Then we've got to allow them that space. We've got to allow them that time as well. We all, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at various points of our life, we make mistakes. We slip up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so many more chances. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to say the very first step that this person has betrayed my trust and I'm never going to trust them again, I'm never going to give them another chance, then where would we have been? So, now that is very important to learn to give people chances, but obviously it's got to be done in a regulated way. It's not just every time, okay, I'll just, you know, just keep on giving the people the trust back. There's got to be that level of it as well, where, you know, if it's just becoming a bit too much, unbearable, then there's got to be that that sense that that person is now taken to task, or that person is now educated in whatever wrong they are doing and they need to learn to mend their ways. Nonetheless, it's been a very fascinating discussion thus far. We're going to go for a quick ad break. When we come back, we will continue with the program. Please do stay tuned. Okay, we welcome you back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International. It's gone about 20 to the hour of 12. Our discussion this morning is all about trust, navigating betrayal. You have been betrayed in some way. It could be a business deal. It could be a friendship. It could be between spouses. How do you navigate that betrayal? How do you build the trust again? A very, very, very tough, challenging experience, but unfortunately, it's something that we have to go through. And as our panelists this morning have been explaining to us, the most important thing and consolation that we can take from is that we have Allah on our side. If we really do bring Allah on our side, then navigating through these various difficulties of life will become much more easier. Sometimes we are maybe betraying the trust that we have with Allah. We are not fulfilling certain deeds that we should be doing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then shows us that, you know, somebody else betrays us. And sometimes it can just be a wake-up call for us to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our panelists for this morning is Maulana Dr. Ibrahim Saider, as well as Apa Zakia Kolia. So now moving on with the discussion, Apa Zakia, we're going to now continue with you again, right? After being betrayed, a person can quickly lose themselves in negative thoughts or even question, sometimes even they start questioning their sanity, etc., especially if they were betrayed by someone that is very, very close to them, someone that they took a lot from, they gave a lot to, they counted on this person for so much more than what they've actually did to them. How do we now change this negative thoughts into more positive thoughts? Something very difficult, but it's got to be achieved.
Gee. So often we feel very, our self-worth gets damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel like we are not worthy or not. So if somebody betrays us, then we feel like there's something wrong with us. I am not good enough. I didn't do something that was right. And we start questioning ourselves. So it's very important to build our self-esteem and confidence in our self-worth, which again is something that you need to go through a process. You need to actually question yourself, and you need to actually look within, you know, do that. Maulana mentioned earlier, like Allah Ta'ala says, like, I am what you perceive me to be. And if you have to perceive Allah, if you have positivity in Allah, then Allah will open your heart to positivity within yourself. You need to trust yourself in your feelings, okay? And it's very important to develop coping skills. Because, again, like I said, we get very overwhelmed in the moment and we feel very low. We feel like we basically just worthless and we're nothing. Whereas it has nothing to do with us. Rather, it has everything to do with the person who betrayed us. Because that is the person that actually has more issues. That is the person that actually needs to work on themselves more, you know? And often sometimes people betray us and they don't have any remorse. They don't have any kind of conscience, like to say, this is what they did. But they actually feel like, you know what, get over it. It's fine. It's no big deal. And we start thinking, is it really no big deal? Am I overreacting? You know? But and then we start questioning ourselves. And that's why we need to also seek help in that moment. Even if you can speak to somebody that you trust, whether it's in your family, whether it's somebody that you have, a mufti or anybody that you have, that you can just get clarification from to say, am I really overreacting? Am I really being wrong in this, you know? So we actually start questioning our own selves, which is completely wrong, you know, because it has nothing to do with us. So in terms of even healing, we need to reach out for support. And self-reflection is very important. You actually go through the process. Even if you have support, support I feel is very, very important rather than being alone.
Mm.
Because when we're alone, shaitan even waswasas or puts thoughts in our mind that makes it even worse. And we start thinking of things that aren't real, and then we end up having more resentment and anger towards that person. But you have an actual clear mind. That's why it's very important to go back and self-reflect and go through the situation and actually get support and say, you know what, I actually wasn't wrong at this. And so your self-esteem needs to build. And I find many people, even adults now, struggle with self-esteem. They struggle with themselves to actually be confident enough. We are people pleasers. We want to please everybody. So we just, you know, it's very submissive. And we just say okay to everything. And we yes, yes to everything. Whereas we need to also realize that we are also we are human beings. And it's only natural for us to go through all of this. And we also need to realize that we, even in terms of self-esteem, that is also our relationship reaching to Allah. That is also us, where we are actually reaching higher and higher to Allah. So the higher your self-esteem, or the more you're going to build yourself, the more you're going to get closer to Allah, and the more Allah is going to open your heart to yourself. So you start to realize things about yourself, you start to feel confident. So for example, if somebody, for example, a spouse tells you, you know what, you're worthless, you don't cook nice, or you're not beautiful, or you're always doing this and bringing up all your faults all the time. Then if you're going to focus on the negative, then what's going to happen is the negative is going to keep popping up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to focus on positive and you're going to tell yourself, hey, that's not me. This is actually who I am. You know what I mean? Allah made me beautiful. You can't, that's standard. No, I try my best. If I am wrong at something, am I really wrong at it? You know, or if somebody is all the time telling me this or finding fault in me or keep breaking me inside, like you need to stop telling yourself that this is all true.
Mm-hmm.
You need to start thinking positively, because again, the more positive you think, then the more positive emotions are going to build, the more positive you're going to feel about yourself, and the more confident you're going to feel about yourself, and that's when you're going to start to learn to be assertive. These skills are important, however, it's very difficult. People, you can't just, it's not something that obviously we just, it's in within us. Like, we know exactly what to do in a conflict, or we know exactly how to be assertive, or we know exactly what's going on. These are things which is a process which we learn. We learn about ourselves. And even to communicate, communication is actually very important, and that's a lot of reasons why betrayal or suspicion, all these things start. So communication also is important, and many times people don't even know how to communicate properly because of the anger and emotions. So also with that, when you communicate, you need to be mindful. It's very important to be mindful of what you're thinking, what you're going through, when to step back, you know?
Mm.
So even in terms of kids, if a child, for example, hurts us. So if our teenager, say we're trusting him or her, and we find out they were involved in risky behavior, then we don't immediately, what happens is parents immediately go and find reprimand the child, and often at times the kid becomes maybe more stubborn and ends up getting on doing their behavior. Sit down, explain to the child. It's very important to actually ask your child their opinion.
Mm.
What are they going through? What are they feeling? Why are they behaving like this? You know, and give them the right attention. Not immediately like come and then give them a good hiding and you can't do this and you can't do that and then that's it because I said so. Because parents, they shouldn't be dictators. Parents need to be guidance to the children. Children, you know. So it's very important to acknowledge your emotions and also the emotions of others.
Yeah, to be able to navigate yourself through that, your own emotions, the emotions that other people are going through, very, very, very important. And to be able to change these negative thoughts that you are experiencing and make them positive might be difficult, might be daunting, might be challenging in the start. But if you really do it and if you really go through it, you seek the right help. Obviously, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first. And then there's the help of other people, experts, counselors, etc. There's various people that are available to us to help us in these difficult situations. We can get through every difficulty. And I think an important thing that we need to focus on and remember is that Allah does not test us with what we cannot handle, what we cannot bear. It's very clearly, categorically stated in the Quran, we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me through a specific difficulty, I can get through that difficulty, and that is why Allah has put me through that difficulty. That is very important to keep in mind. Now, when it comes to these cases of betrayal and building trust again, when a person is betrayed, then in many cases, we can't say in all, but in many cases, first on their list and first on their agenda is revenge. So, Maulana, you know, back to you now. Many times when we have been hurt in different ways, it could be a spouse, it could be a family member, the first thing that we want to do is we want to take revenge and we want to hurt them back the way they hurt us. And many times we even want to hurt them much more than what they hurt us. Will this make us feel any better?
So I just want to begin by echoing what Sister Zakia mentioned, is that we are living in a world of means. That there are people who are trained to help us along this journey of when we do experience betrayal, trust, and when that becomes something that is distressing to either our occupational functioning, academic functioning, or social functioning, then we do need to reach out to the people who are there. I mean, and they are in different forms, different organizations, and at different levels of professionalism. So, you know, there's so many avenues that we can reach out to. Personally, in practice, we see a lot of, as you mentioned, spouses, very difficult time for them when one is betrayed by someone that you might have been living a married life with for the last decade or so, have children with, and suddenly now there is this major betrayal of trust, which is very common, unfortunately, in our society. So these are things that we should not be ashamed for seeking help. We should not be ashamed for, obviously, they're done in very confidential settings, and it's in a very guided way in where the people that are addressing these issues have been through this journey with many people. So Sister Zakia will tell you as well that her colleagues at the care line would have, you know, have seen many over the years and are seasoned with regards to these kind of problems. Coming back to the original question, I would like to draw the attention of the listeners and myself to the example of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. If we look at the extent of betrayal that he experienced throughout his life from so many different people that he was close to, and then his reaction after that. So initially, we know that he saw that famous dream that he saw. It was the best of stories that was revealed in the Quran. And then in Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the dream, and for purposes of brevity, I will not quote all the Arabic, but in essence, he saw, you know, 11 stars and a sun and moon, frustrating to him. Going to his father for an interpretation, his father being a Nabi, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, already knew what this meant. And he said to him, do not relate this to your brothers. These are now his own brothers. Do not relate it to your brothers, because they will be jealous of you and might try to harm you. And that is what they did. He experienced betrayal by them taking him, intending to kill him, and then eventually throwing him into the well. He further went on to experience betrayal at the hands of the people that he was living with, the minister's wife of Egypt, who attempted to seduce him towards zina, and then falsely accused him of molesting her, of raping her, and then high-ranking people in the court then jailed him, despite him not having committed that crime. Now, throughout this experience, Allah Ta'ala protected him by giving him ways to avoid either, whether it was emotional hurt, spiritual hurt, or physical hurt. Because if we look at the intention to kill him, they didn't kill him eventually, they placed him in the well. When he was accused of rape, what happened, what the Quran relates, that a person that was close to the court said to them, look at his shirt, if it is torn from the front or it is torn from the back. And the physical evidence was contrary to what the wife of the minister was accusing him of. When the temptation to engage with women was constantly offered towards this young, handsome young man, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala then positioned him in prison. So we can find sometimes that we are in situations where we feel like we are being punished, but actually we are being protected by Allah Ta'ala from a greater harm. And this is what I can see from this story. And throughout experiencing these constant betrayals, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was taught this lesson that I only have Allah. But together with that, there were people that were sent to him in the prison, the people that were sent with the dream for interpretation. And there are some commentaries that allude to the fact that these people that were sent to him with these requests for interpretation of dreams were actually part of the means of Allah Ta'ala actually facilitating his escape from the prison eventually, or being let free from the prison. So although the person did forget to send the message to the king, eventually it did work out in that manner, where that interpretation of the king's dream now became a necessity, and he called for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to the court. So again, the lesson is given that there are means available for us to reach out to people. Now, from looking at the story, it appears that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was, constantly being attacked and falling apart, whereas actually Allah Ta'ala was nurturing him for his eventual destiny, his great destiny. So, it wouldn't have this grand finale where وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ, where he raised his parents up to the throne, they bowed to him in frustration, his brothers did as well, and then he says to his father that this was actually the explanation of my dream before. And that Al-Latif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name of Al-Latif, the one who is kind, gracious, knows the subtle details of our circumstances, he was the one that facilitated this. And this is the word that he used to describe Allah. And then again he uses Al-Wali, and the one who is your guardian and constant supporter. Constantly supported him from the potential harm. So if he had to choose to take revenge when they eventually came to Egypt in the interim, seeking food, they came with his other brother, Binyamin. If he had to seek revenge, he could have at that point ordered all of them to be imprisoned, ordered all of them to be executed, for example. He was in charge at that time. He was the minister at that time. But he did not. And what was the outcome? The outcome was Allah Ta'ala brought them to his feet. So revenge is not the answer. Revenge is not what we are taught in Islam. Revenge is not the answer. I've seen in a practice even when we find now people are using social media as a way to get revenge against maybe someone who are they are going through a separation with, or they've had bad dealings with, or they are divorced from. So now we want to show them a point. So we use social, and we're losing a whole generation to social media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just that's another whole topic, Molana. You know, if you want to. If you want to explore another program, you know, that's a whole other topic. But that's what we are seeing. You know, this things of revenge, for example, to the extent of revenge pornography, you know, using private images that one might have of an ex-spouse, and then using that to destroy and tarnish their reputation, or even going to the point of making up lies about them, character assassination is seen, and then posting these things on social media, just trying to get the message across to them that, look, I'm carrying on with my life, but I can still destroy yours. What it actually does, it actually brings that person more pain, more difficulty, and then they end up in our rooms, and they are, you know, majorly depressed, anxious, can't sleep, can't eat, can't drink, because they've been playing this game with each other, these mind games on social media of revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes things even worse. So definitely, revenge is not the answer. Yes, justice will be meted out, whether it is in this world or the Akhirah. Justice will be meted out to those who are unjust to you. But rather take the form and the way of forgiving, and pardoning them. فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. Allah Ta'ala commands Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself to pardon and to forgive. Because we ask Allah Ta'ala that Allahumma innaka afoon. That Ya Allah, you are the one who تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ. You love pardoning. You are the most pardoning. فَعْفُوا عَنَّا. So forgive us. If we want this from Allah Ta'ala, why can't we afford it to our fellow human beings? So rather take that part of forgiving, and we'll see how much lighter the burden is, how much lighter that weight will be totally lifted off our shoulders. And then make dua for that person. Make dua for that person, and we'll see how much of barakah will enter our lives. Just by taking that person's name in our dua, they might have hurt them, but Ya Allah, guide them. Ya Allah, grant them happiness. Ya Allah, you know, grant them whatever is khair and whatever is best for them.
Mm.
And grant me also a better replacement. And there are so many du'as, as Mawlana alluded to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When we are afflicted with a musibah, an affliction, we immediately, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati. Oh Allah, grant me a reward to this musibah. Wakhlufni khairan minha. And, you know, replace it with better than what I've lost. So, these are the things, these are the avenues we should go to. And once again, there are multiple avenues of help and assistance that we can reach out to. There are ulama who are involved in these type of activities and work. There are organizations, there are doctors, psychologists, there are psychiatrists. And we do deal with these things in practice as well. So there's no shame. There's no weakness in seeking out help for these type of trust issues, betrayal issues, and let us gain maximum benefit from whichever avenue that we can and that we do trust.
Jazakallah, Marana, for that very, very comprehensive and that very, very beautiful answer that Marana has given. Sometimes we feel like, you know, the best way to get out of this is to take revenge. But only later do we come to find out that, you know, that was definitely not the best answer. And as Marana gave the very beautiful example in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, at the end, the conclusion of his story was La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, no blame upon you today. And he forgave his very own brothers, the people that were so close to him and that hurt him. He forgave them, and we know what was the end result. And the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is replete with these examples as well, to forgive. And that there'll be so much of closure that we can get when we forgive. When we take revenge, then the the problem just blows up, it just becomes much more bigger. They then want to take now revenge upon us. We will now want to take revenge upon them, and it just goes on and on and on. Absolutely no closure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. We got to conclude the discussion now. We're already towards the end. Abba Zakia, very quickly, maybe, you know, as we said right in the start, people say that, you know, I'll never be able to trust this person ever again. Is it possible that you can trust somebody who has betrayed you? Is it possible? Maybe you can just give us a quick answer and perhaps your concluding remarks as well.
Yes, there is a possibility, because trust, it's very important to know that trust can't be taken for granted. I mean, there's a reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his first value, his first quality was what? Honesty. And honesty earns us respect, because he got respect back from any kind of trust, whether it's personal dealings or whatever he got. So it's very important to know that trust earns us respect. If you obviously want to continue the relationship, it's very important also to set boundaries. So we're setting boundaries to say what that person saying, look, this is what I obviously expect. This is obviously what I would not like again. And in terms of like going, moving forward. And again, like I said, that individual will end up doing that by way of action. Because saying sorry doesn't work. But instead of that, by way of action, one will see, and that will take time. It's a process. It'll take some time. It'll take a few months. It might even take years. But through action, their trust will be gained back. It definitely, most definitely, definitely will be gained back by their actions. Okay, and in terms, and even at the end of that, you will be able to gain security in your relationship, and loyalty is very important. Those are the two words that we also need to elaborate on. Loyalty and security. To feel secure in a relationship is important. We want to feel secure. And also we have to address our own insecurities. And it's also very important for a person to heal. So if you're going through the resentment and the anger, you know, it would be best for you to go through it. Talk to somebody. If you want to vent, if you want to, whatever you want to do, you can actually, you can talk about it. And you say, this is what I'm feeling, this is how angry I'm feeling. And then you let time heal you. You let Allah Ta'ala open your heart and heal you. And then in time, if you want to obviously take that person back and you feel, you know what? Because remember, as insan, as Muslims, what did Allah Ta'ala fall within us? It's love. You know, it's love. It actually was love was the stem of it in the first place. And now how did it turn to hate? Because I love this person so much and my emotional connection to them. This is why also it hurts so much. But we are still filled with love. So that love can also gain us back that relationship. But like I said, trust, setting boundaries, and again, by way of action.
Jazakallah, Abba, so much for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance. And hopefully, you know, people that are going through these difficulties, hopefully they can overcome these difficulties, navigate betrayal, build the trust again. Jazakallah, so much for your time.
Ameen, Mulana.
So that was Abba Zakia. Mulana, Dr. Ibrahim, maybe your concluding remarks as well?
I think I just want to leave the conversation with the point that we should never ever say, I will never be able to trust anyone again. This only leads us to distance ourselves from people in life who might be our supporters and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, which will only amplify our pain. So we must get away from these negative assumptions about everyone and about overgeneralizing, you know, placing this blanket judgment over everyone. We need to be able to trust again. We need to be able to know that there are caring people out there, and that if we are genuine people will come to us. My teacher, Sheikh Awama Hafizahullah, says something very beautiful, and he says, Al-Ikhlasu yasna'u al-ajaib, that sincerity will manifest marvels and miracles. So if we are sincere and genuine in our dealings with people, inshallah ta'ala, we will the same sincerity, the same genuineness will come back to us. And we will experience that in our own relationships with people, whether it be spouses, children, or business partners or friends.
Ameen. Mulana Jazakallah, so much for your time and your expertise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance. And hopefully we get to chat again.
Ameen. Wa iyyakum Mulana. Jazakumullah khairan.
So that was Mulana Ibrahim, Mulana Dr. Ibrahim Seder, as well as we had Apa Zakia that was with us. And the discussion this morning was all about betrayal. How do we navigate betrayal? You have been betrayed. How do you get through it? How do you build trust again? And how do you learn to patch relationships up? Who do you turn to for help? How do you turn to people for help? It's a very, very, very interesting discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice. Most definitely, there are people out there that are hurting from betrayal that they have experienced. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us to overcome these difficulties and these burdens that we face. Remember, at the end of the day, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn to. When the whole world will shun us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever shun us. People will betray us. People that are very close to us will betray us. Your own children, your own family, your own spouse will betray you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never betray us. That's the consolation that we're supposed to be speaking to ourselves with every day, motivating ourselves with every day, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for us. And as both our panelists did say, there's nothing wrong with seeking help from people as well. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at certain times, at certain cases, we seek or we need, we require professional help. So we should go that route. If it has reached that case that we need professional help, we should not shy away from it. There is the help out there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. With that, we conclude the discussion. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.